Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Audio Podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast in our Nothing Will series through the book of Romans, today's teaching is entitled God's Family Tree. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and powerful message from God. Enjoy and God bless.
Romans chapter 11. We're going to begin our reading today in verse 13, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation today because I think it really, the words from the NLT really kind of establishes a good understanding for what I want to share with you this morning. So Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul writes, "I am saying all this especially for you Gentiles," us, right? "God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I stress this, for I want somehow to make the people of Israel jealous of what you Gentiles have, so I might save some of them. For since their rejection meant that God offers salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. It will be for life, or it will be life for those who are dead." And we heard the word this morning, God's bringing life. He's releasing life. And all of us need to have the life of God released in some area of our lives. There's areas of our lives that's dead. We need to receive the life of God today. "And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants would also be holy, just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who are branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Well, you may say, those branches was broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ, and you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, He won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe towards those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in His kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again, for God has the power to graft them back into the tree. You, by nature, were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into His cultivated tree, He will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles come to Christ, and so all Israel will be saved. As the scripture said, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. Today I'm going to speak to you about God's family tree. God's family tree. In the scriptures we just read, Paul uses the analogy of a tree that has both natural and wild branches attached to it, to describe the makeup of the church, to describe how Jesus and God formed the body of Christ. I'm excited to share this word with you this morning. Because there's so many things about this that is misunderstood. And it's misunderstood because Paul used the word mystery. What is this mystery? We're going to go on a journey today in order to seek a better understanding of the essence of God's word concerning Jew and Gentile, as the Holy Spirit make known to us what Paul refers to in Romans 11:25 as this mystery. Romans 11:25, he wrote, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until," everyone say until. "Until the fullness of the Gentile has come in." There's a mystery that we are a part of. A mystery is defined as something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. In his teachings, Jesus used this mystery. In Matthew 13:10, he used a mystery approach in his teaching. In Matthew 13:10, the disciples of Jesus came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus responded in verse 11, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given." So we, the body of Christ, God has given to us what? The right to know the mysteries. The right to understand the mysteries of God. To help understand the mystery of God's family, which is what we're talking about today, Paul uses the analogy of a tree. A tree with natural branches on it, as well as branches that has been grafted in. Now, I remember as a little boy seeing my dad do what Paul describes here, and that's graft a branch or branches on a tree that it was not originally attached to. Now, something to understand about grafting. In order to graft a branch in, a branch that is on the tree must be partially or totally removed. Because where that branch was removed from, that becomes the point where the branch from the unnatural tree is grafted in. How many of you know what a bitternut is? If you know what a bitternut is, raise your hand. Let me see. Only me and my wife. And I'm not surprised. You guys have never heard of a bitternut. Okay, let me tell you why I've not heard of a bitternut. A bitter nut is a small hickory nut that looks like a pecan or a pecan, depending on where you're from. But it is not edible. Bitternuts are very common in Louisiana. That's why you guys never heard of it. And my father used to take a limb, or used to take limbs from a pecan tree and graft them onto a bitternut tree. The idea was to utilize the root systems of a tree that produces fruit that's inedible to produce fruit that can be eaten. This process, like I said, required removing a branch or a portion of a branch from the tree and grafting into that area the branch from the bitternut tree. That is what Paul is teaching. That God cut off some of the natural branches from his tree, those natural branches being Israel, and then grafted in wild or unnatural branches known as Gentiles. That's us. That's us. Branches They were not originally attached to the tree. Now, Jesus uses this metaphor in John 15 to explain the relationship between himself and the church. In his metaphor, we are the branches, and he is what? He's the vine. The one through whom the source of life flows. He said in John 15, 1 and 2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he does what? He takes away. So one of the reasons that Israel was taken away from the tree of life, from God's family tree, is because they were not bearing fruit. They chose to not be fruit bearers in God's kingdom during this period of time. But he said, every branch that bears fruit, he does what? How many of you feel like you've been going through some pruning lately? And why does the Lord prune? So that we would become even more fruitful. Please hear me. I don't like going through hard and difficult times no more than you do. But I understand that when I stay in faith with God, he takes no matter what I'm going through and he works it out for his good. And what I've seen from so many of you who are having to walk through difficult times is that although you're having to walk through something like you've never walked through before, there is an unshakable faith inside of you that says, this thing is not going to defeat me. I will glorify and Roger even worship God. I've never seen it this way. Now, I'm going to throw something else in here, and I don't want to chase too many rabbits this morning because I got to get through my message. But I have to chase a few rabbits. I was talking to someone earlier about the persecution. And not to sound in any way doom and gloom, but I believe the current persecution that we're going through now is to prepare us for even greater persecution that is to come. Now, I know you don't like to shout when you hear that. I understand it, and I get it. I don't want to shout either. But I'm just telling you what I believe the Lord is doing. Remember when Dr. Harold Hamble was with us 2 weeks ago? He talked about the church in China and how tremendous growth and tremendous miracles and tremendous things are happening in the church and through the church in China under great persecution. But he said something, Pastor Rod, that just is stuck here. He said their attitude is, God, don't let the persecution stop.
That's good right there.
Listen, Paul had a vision of God's family tree made up of Jews and Gentiles united in the love of God and in the obedience to Christ. While at the same time respecting God's law, this ideal church would also look to Christ alone for salvation. He had a vision of a church where a person's ethnic background and social status is irrelevant, but what mattered most is their faith in Jesus. But Paul's vision has not yet been realized because far too many Jews reject the gospel, instead depending on their heritage for salvation. Also, once Gentiles became the dominant presence in the church, remember we were not, the Jesus started the church of what? A few Jewish boys and ladies who then began to reach out to the Gentiles. And as time passed, Gentiles soon greatly outnumbered Jewish believers. Once Gentiles became the dominant presence in the church, they began to reject and persecute the Jews, a practice that has recurred throughout the centuries and even today keep Jews and Gentiles separate in their pursuit of God. In the early days of the church, Jews persecuted Christians even to death. But once the church was established, Gentile believers began to reject and persecute the Jews. Yet God, in his wisdom, chose the Jews just as he chose the Gentiles, and he's still working to unite Jew and Gentile to create a new Israel, a new Jerusalem that is ruled by his son. Amen. A coming together that Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 called the mystery. Paul tells us that Israel's rejection of God's plan of salvation resulted in Gentiles being accepted onto God's family tree. Their refusal to remain attached to God's tree allowed for us, wild branches, to be grafted in. We're now living in what's called the age of the church. This age started with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and this age will end with the second coming of Jesus. Upon his return, Jesus will fully establish on earth the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is currently being established, a kingdom that is ever expanding, but God's kingdom will not fully be established until the second coming of Christ. I want you to hold on to that thought. During the age of the church, God has put in place a mystery concerning Jew and Gentile, Israel and the world. In this age, God's tree has both natural and wild branches attached to it, but mostly wild branches that's been grafted in. Concerning this mystery, Paul writes in Romans 11, 26, and so all Israel will be saved. What does Paul mean by that? Who is he referring to? Who is he talking about? It's part of the mystery. And this one particular verse has been so misunderstood by so many Christians. What does Paul mean by all Israel? Is Paul saying every person born a natural Jew will be saved? Is that what he's saying? No. I don't think so either. For he wrote in Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, for he is not a Jew who is outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. In what? The Spirit, that's capital S, that means in the Holy Spirit, not in the letter. In the church age, being born a Jew does not guarantee salvation. The only thing that guarantees salvation is what? Being born again. Have you been born again?
Amen.
If you have not been born again, guess what? You've not been grafted into God's tree. You may come to church. You may be a good person. You may have grown up in church. But if you've never had a born again experience, you're not part of God's family tree. You're just not. Have you been born again? Salvation comes only through faith in the finished work of Jesus. So what did Paul mean when he said all Israel would be saved? In Romans 11, 14, he said, I provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh or who the people of Israel who are of my flesh, that I may save some of them. So here we also see and understand all Israel is not all Israel as some may think. If all Israel is automatically saved, there'd be no need to provoke them to jealousy. But in this provoking of Israel, Paul also issues a warning to us Gentiles. I want to speak to you this morning. I'm going to speak to you right now about Paul's warning to you. In Romans 11, 18, he writes to us Gentiles, do not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that was broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Don't brag about it. Don't brag that they've been broken off and you've been grafted in. You're just a branch. You're not the root. And what's the significance of the root to the branch? Right. The branch cannot live without the root. Go outside and cut a branch off of your tree or cut a branch off of a bush and lay it aside and see how long it's going to live. So Paul is saying, don't brag because you've been grafted in. He warns against both boastfulness and presumption, reminding us that we were taken from a wild olive tree and grafted onto God's family tree because of Israel's unbelief. He goes on to say in Romans 11, 19 and 20, you may say those branches was broken off to make room for me. Paul said, yes, but remember those branches was broken off because they didn't believe in Christ. And you are there, why? Because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what can happen to you. For if God did not spare the original branches, Paul said, he won't spare you either. What is he talking about? If you stop believing, your faith will be the same as their faith. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what life throws at you, no matter what crazy stuff you may hear, don't let nothing cause you to stop believing in Jesus. Nothing, amen? Don't give in to anything that contradicts the word of God. Because Paul is saying if you stop believing, your faith will be the same as their faith. The only thing that guarantees you life is faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only thing. Not how good you are. Paul goes on to say, God is both kind and severe. Both. That's the nature of God. He is kind to us if what? If we continue to trust in his kindness. And he's severe towards those who disobey. If we stop believing and trusting, we also will be cut off. If we stop trusting in Jesus, God's kindness towards us will be turned to him being severe towards us. And if Israel, the natural olive branches, if they would turn from their unbelief and believe in Jesus, they will be grafted in again. Paul said God has the power to remove us if we stop believing and the power to graft them back in if they start believing. We, by nature, were branches cut from a wild olive tree. And if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting us into his family tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. Concerning this mystery, Romans 11, 25, Paul said, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. The fullness of the Gentiles speak of the church age. The church was started by Jews who took the gospel to Gentiles, Paul being chief among them. Gentiles are to now take the gospel to the Jews in hope that many of them would turn to Jesus. So blindness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile come in. So What does that mean? What is Paul talking about? The fullness of the Gentile. That means during the church age, God in his wisdom foreknew his family tree would largely consist of Gentiles. He knew that. But there's coming a day when all the people groups that make up the Gentile nations would have heard and had a chance to receive the gospel. That day is what Paul refers to as the fullness of the Gentiles. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 24:14. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom, let's read this together. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nation, and then what? Let's read it one more time. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So the fullness of the Gentiles will trigger two things. Are you ready? Number one, it will trigger the second coming of Christ. Jesus said, then the end will come. But this is the second thing it's going to trigger. It's going to trigger a mass turning or ingathering of Jews to the faith. Romans 11:26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. God said, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. This one scripture, Romans 11:26, is such a misunderstood scripture. And to be quite honest with you, I did not fully understand it until I was studying for this particular message. It's such a misunderstood scripture because it is part of the mystery of God. As we've already established, Paul is not saying that every person born into the Jewish race will be saved. So I want to give you two possible meanings as I close this morning as to what Paul is talking about. Number one. Paul uses the term all Israel to refer to the spiritual nation of Israel made up of everyone, Jew and Gentile, who has received salvation through faith in Christ. That is the first popular opinion of this mystery. The second is this. There will be a mass turning of Jews to Jesus who are alive when he returns. I particularly lean more toward this understanding of all Israel because of the construct of Romans 11:26-27. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn away Israel from ungodliness, and this is my covenant with them. With who? Israel, that I will take away their sins. Those who have accepted Jesus as Savior awaits his second coming. Got to get this. Those of us who have accepted Jesus as Savior, we are waiting for what? His second coming. But what's the nation of Israel looking for? They're looking for his first. They're looking for his first. The nation of Israel, you got to get this, help you understand this mystery. Israel as a people group is waiting in faith, for the coming Messiah. They just don't realize he's already come. We in faith are waiting for his second coming. they as a people group are waiting for his first coming. I remember when I was in Israel, had a tremendous Jewish tour guide. Wherever we went, he took the Jewish Bible, which is our Old Testament, and he took a New Testament. And based upon where we were, he would pull out either the Jewish Bible or the New Testament and read about the region we was in. And when we get back on the bus and we travel from place to place, we have opportunity to ask Mike certain questions. Something was bothering me. It was just eating me up. Because this guy was so smart, he was so knowledgeable, and he was a good guy. He really was. And he was a very learned man. So I said, Mike, and we had an opportunity to discuss this openly on the bus. I said, Mike, help me understand something. You're very knowledgeable about the things of God. You're very knowledgeable about the scripture. The Old Testament, your Bible, prophesied things to come that Jesus fulfilled. I said, why do the Jews not accept Jesus as Messiah? I was waiting for this deep theological response that I was going to have to kind of chew on and, you know, maybe digest. And you know what he said? He said, we simply do not believe that he was the Messiah. That was it. I'm thinking, wait a minute, you got to give me more than that. You know why? Paul explains that. He said, in part, this blindness has come to the nation of Israel until what? The fullness of the Gentiles come in. Until the fullness has come in. They're waiting for the Messiah. And Paul said, the deliverer that they're looking for will come out of Zion. And he will turn them away from ungodliness. One other verse, Romans 11:29, says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Now, we have heard and we have used this verse primarily in reference to what? The gifts of the Spirit are the calling of God that's on your life. But when you take this in the context in which Paul is using it, he wasn't talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, do I think there's a place to use it as a reference? Absolutely. But in the context that he's using it here, that is not what he's talking about. The proper context, Paul is trying to convey something altogether. The dialogue preceding this verse had to do with Israel being cut off from God's family tree, but then coming back to God in masses. So I believe the immediate reference of the gifts and calling of God that is used here is that the privileges, an invitation that God gave Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can never be withdrawn or taken back. Yes. It is a privilege, it is a gift, yes. It is a calling that there will always be there to the people group. When the Jews, come on Angela, when the Jews neglected God's mission, Gentiles, us, found their way into the blessings of God through the Jewish Messiah. But God still loves the Jews. He loves the Jews. And part of his love for them is tied to the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as Paul stated in Romans 11:28, for the sake of the fathers. But when the deliverer come, when Jesus come out of Zion, Jew and Gentile will together in great masses experience the blessings of God Almighty. The church that Jesus died to build and the church that Paul envisioned will become a reality. Paul ends Romans 11 with this doxology or this prayer of praise to God for the wisdom of his plan that allowed us to be grafted in, yet at the same time still offers hope and promises to the nation of Israel. In verses 33 through 36, he said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his riches and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. In the final analysis, all of us are absolutely 100% dependent upon God. He is the source of all things, including ourselves. He is the power that sustains and rules the world that we live in. And God works all things to himself. And what Paul is saying here is this: the Almighty, all-powerful God deserves our praise. We're going to celebrate tomorrow as a nation independence. Independence from something natural. As we close out today, I want us to celebrate today independence that God's given us in the spirit realm. Will you stand to your feet with me this morning and give him praise? Will you praise God for his unexplainable love? Will you praise God that he's grafted you into his family, into his family tree, that you're not some branch that's been cut off and laid on the ground, but you've been grafted in? Will you praise him? He's God Almighty. He is the one who sustains. He is the one who rules. He's the one in whom we live. And he's the one who's working out all things, no matter what's going on in our lives, so that in the end, he alone will receive glory. Come on and praise him, church. I want you to praise him like you mean it. I want you to praise him like you mean it. He's God Almighty. He's God Almighty. He has a plan for your life. He has a calling on your life. Listen, you're grafted into the family of God, into God's family tree. Jesus being the branches, being the vine that we're attached to. In all life, whatever life we need, whatever we need in life, wherever you find yourself in life, you've got to know that what you need, God will give you. He will sustain you. He will sustain you.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If God has impacted your life through Restoration Church, we want to hear your testimony. So please email us at amen@r4sq.org. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.